Now it's Rick and Donna Martinez on News Radio 680 WPTF at WPTF.com.
Having God in your life is good for your soul. Is it also good for the crime rate? We're going to talk to Professor Byron Johnson, who is from the from Baylor University, and he'll take your calls at 860-WPTF, 860-9783, or 800-662-7979, or you can drop us a line at Rick and Donna at WPTFmail.com.
Live, local, and all about the Triangle, Rick and Donna Martinez on News Radio 680 WPTF and WPTF.com.
We are at the club at RDU, and you bet, that's right. It's at it's really cool. It's an airport club, and it's in essence an airline club.
It's an airport lounge, and it's really awesome.
And you got to come by and check it, and we'll tell you about it a little bit later. It's at RDU. It's in Terminal 1 opposite Gate A21, and later on in the hour, we'll let you know exactly what a great deal this is, man.
But right now, we are going to be talking about something that is really, really fascinating. There is a new book. It is called More God, Less Crime. And it's been written by the gentleman who joins us now. Byron Johnson he has all sorts of titles. He is with Baylor University, and he's joining us now. Professor Johnson, welcome to News Radio 680 WPTF.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Well, Professor, when it comes to the issue of crime and how to have less of it, we typically hear a lot of talk about all sorts of programs and services that we need in the community. We hear people talk about the importance of counseling. I got to tell you, this is the first time I've heard of someone say that faith should be a part of this public policy solution. Why do you say that?
Well, we say this based with empirical studies that have been conducted for a number of years. I think some people have confused the book to say that this is one study that shows that faith matters. In fact, the book is a review of some 273 published studies in academic journals. And so what I've tried to do is to capture what scholars have been researching for several decades and put it into one book. And what we find is that faith really is a key factor. It's a protective factor. Kids who grow up in homes where faith is prominent are much less likely to be in trouble from the get-go. And it's not only a protective factor, it helps people make the right choices. So what we call pro-social behavior. So instead of focusing on antisocial behavior, if you look at why kids do the right things, why do they stay in school, why do they make good grades, some of that can be explained by their religious faith. And then if you look at people who actually get into a lot of trouble, we find that faith actually helps people turn over a new leaf and make a lot of progress with their life, kind of rewrite their whole narrative. And so there are many ways in which religion is important, and I think that, as you rightfully say, there are these other programs that we know that are important. I think what the book argues is that religion should be a part of that discussion.
Professor Johnson, I'm familiar with some of the studies that I suspect are in your book, and when I go to my good guy advocacy groups and I say, look, if you get great social outcomes if there's a significant dose of religion or faith, and they just sort of cringe. Now, do your sociology colleagues at Baylor and other universities, I mean, how are they receiving the fact that religion tends to lead to good social outcomes? I mean, are they accepting?
Mm-hmm. Well, colleagues in general across the country, social scientists are not a religious group.
Yeah.
And so, this makes a lot of people uncomfortable. There are all kinds of reasons why people find themselves uncomfortable with this news. And a lot of it, I think, is based on stereotypes that people have of people of faith. And they think that people of faith are all about one thing, evangelism.
Yeah, a bunch of Bible thumpers, right?
It's a bunch of Bible thumpers. But the reality is quite the opposite. People of faith line up to do volunteer work in extraordinary numbers. When you look at who goes into prisons to teach prisoners how to read and to write and to do math, and these are people motivated out of faith. They're not in there necessarily to share some Bible scripture, although that certainly happens. And I think that even faith-based programs don't know how to communicate what they do, because what I have found, I've evaluated faith-based efforts in prisons, and they go, it's 24 hours a day religious programming. Well, when I go in there, what I'm seeing is computer classes. I'm seeing mentors helping inmates with their homework and holding them accountable. So it in fact turns out to be a very kind of a holistic approach to working with inmates, realizing that a part of the solution is in fact spiritual. And so I do think there's this hostility, if you will. Even in chapter one, I talk about the last acceptable prejudice, and that is the prejudice against people of faith. And I think for a lot of us out there in the secular world, they have to get over this, because we're never going to solve a lot of the crime problems we have unless we bring in these people.
Professor Johnson, so what do we do then from the standpoint of trying to reduce crime across the country? Are you proposing that faith-based solutions be separate from government public policy and government-funded programs? Or how would we integrate faith and religion, and as Rick said, get people to be more accepting of that as a pro-social, valid public policy?
Well, Donna, that's the big question. I think that you've hit the nail on the head, and there are two problems. I think we need these partnerships between the sacred and the secular, between the public and the private. I don't think faith-based approaches in and of themselves will help us go to scale and work to solve problems. And we already know that government programs in and of themselves are not going to be able to solve these problems. Look at the fact that we have 700,000 prisoners each year now leaving prison. So we have what has been called a reentry crisis affecting communities all across the country. What do we do about it? Well, one of the things that we could do is to encourage these kinds of partnerships between these two groups. And the problem is they both have biases against each other. There are people in congregations, highly religious people, very good people, that think the government is evil, and they can't work with the government. That's a real problem.
Professor, we have about a minute left, and I want to get this question in. Have churches in general sort of come back or walked away from their responsibility of, you know, hey, follow the Ten Commandments and stay out of jail, and, you know, kind of being sort of that social partner and making sure that people are flying straight?
You know, I think there's some sense in which that is true. I think the bigger issue, Rick, is that people of faith just need to be told what to do. So if they know that there are these needs that we're now discovering, and they know that they can help, you have people in churches that are attorneys and accountants and business owners. These people can really help ex-offenders, for example, make it on the outside. And we now have evidence that does work. We just need to help educate congregations much more than we've been able to do in the past.
Professor Byron Johnson is with Baylor University. He is, among other things, the director of the Institute for Studies of Religion. And, Professor, I got to say thank you so much for writing about this and for joining us this morning, because I think this is really an important discussion that some people are uncomfortable with. But we've got to talk about this because, as you say, your analysis in your book, More God, Less Crime, shows this is what's going on. More God, there is less crime. Professor, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
It is 10:15 at News Radio 680 WPTF. You're listening to Rick and Donna Martinez.